I want to talk to you and I want to show you some principles in the Word of God that will be helpful. What I want to talk to you quickly is about some simple principles that will help you focus on that which is good. Now, let me start this foundation by showing you a passage of Scripture. This is in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, we have it on the screen so you can follow us word for word. This is the New King James. Look what he says. Paul says, finally, brethren, my brothers. You know what? As a parent, I recognize there's a lot of times I'll give my kids instruction. Make sure you do this. Make sure you do this. Make sure you do that. And then the last thing I'll think, and don't forget this. I could say it like this. Finally, I call my kids my angels. Finally, my angelic angels, don't forget. You know, Paul is doing the same thing. He said a lot of really good things, but he gets to the end and he says this, whoa, guys, finally, make sure you don't forget this. Look what he says. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever, stay on this page, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report. Do you hear the cadence? Do you hear the repetitiveness? Look at what it says. Whatsoever things, do you see it, are true, are noble, are just, are pure, are lovely, are good. If there's anything, catch his passion. Then he finally winds up and he says, listen, let me tell you what. If there is anything, do you see the word? If there is anything praiseworthy, here's what I want you to do. I want you to meditate on these things. Amen. See, let me tell you what. This is, understand this, that this is a principle in the Word of God, that your life will be better if you will start to focus on that which is good. Now, let me give you some tips that will help you to live this kind of life. Because if we just, how many know if you just kind of, you know, it's kind of like a river. And if you just stop, you're going to just flow right down the river. Many times, you're not negative because you woke up in the morning and said, I'll tell you what, I'm gonna do. I'm gonna have a bad day today. And I'm gonna make everyone's around me day bad too. How many know you don't do that? But what happens is, without trying, how many know we live in a very negative world? Matter of fact, it's almost cool cat, skinny jeans-ish. You know what? To be negative. No, let me tell you what. Things are bad, man. No, they're not bad, man. You need to get real. Things are really bad. Let me tell you how bad I am. They're really, really bad. And there's just this negativity. You know, when's the last time, you know what, you turned on the television and they had some, you know what, some good news. You know what I mean? 6 years ago, yeah. Yeah, 55 years ago, right? All I'm saying is that I believe that every single one of us need to do what Paul said. Finally, brethren, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, if there's anything that's praiseworthy, you need to think on those things. And in order to do that, you've got to be purposeful in this. So I want to give you quickly just some things that will help you to live this kind of life. Because I'm telling you what, if you live this kind of life, your life is going to get better. It will be better. So let's go over a couple of things. Number one thing I want you to understand, listen to me. If you're going to live in this life that you're focused on that which is good, you've got to understand this, that many people just focus on what they don't have. And so they never see what they do have. I'm going to say this again. They focus on what they don't have. How many know it's easy to become complacent?
That's right.
Easy to see, well, yeah, but I don't have this, and I don't have that, and I don't have this. Whoa, wait a minute. And all the time you're taking all this energy focusing on what you don't have, and as you're focusing on what you don't have, you're not noticing what you do have. You're not noticing the blessings that are all around you. I love this story. There's a great story in the Bible. It's in John chapter 5, starting with verse 2. John chapter 5, verse 2. I'll read it real quickly. It's not a long story, but let me read it to you. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time in the pool and stirred the water. Whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well, whatever disease he had. Stay right there. Please understand this, that God is a supernatural God. Not a natural God, but a supernatural God. In other words, God moves in dimensions that are superior to what is natural. It's superior to the natural. So many times you'll read these stories in the Bible and they seem unbelievable. Notice the word I said, they seem unbelievable. May I suggest this to you, that the supernatural is taking place around you all the time. And if you'll tie in and start to recognize that God is for you and not against you, you'll start to notice that God will do supernatural things in your life. I'm just asking, how many of you have ever experienced something and it was like so incredible, you said, oh my goodness, there's no way that happened naturally. That was God. Raise your hand if that. See, I'm telling you, it happens all the time. And so when we read a story like this, I'm just telling you what, did this happen? Absolutely it happened. The Bible says that God cannot lie. This really happened. But notice what happens. These people are getting healed of whatever disease they had, but they have to be the first one in the water. Now look at this next verse. Look at this next verse. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. Somebody say 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew he had already had been in this condition for a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? Now, here's what I want to say. Imagine this. You've been sick for a long time, and every time you try to make it down to that water, somebody goes in before you. So this guy has Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the one who's walking around Jerusalem, healing people that are sick of every disease, leprosy, blindness, deafness, muteness, all kinds of supernatural things God is doing, and this guy has Jesus in front of him. But listen, he can't see it. He doesn't see it. And so Jesus says, what do you need? Jesus says, do you want to be made well? Now, what do you think a good response to that would be?
Yes.
Let me think a second. Yes! But here's what I want you to notice. Notice his reaction. It's not yes. Look at what he says. Look what he says. And the sick man answered and said to him, sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another man steps in down before me. Now, here's what I want to say. Notice this. He doesn't see it. And let me tell you why he doesn't see it. Does he have a man? Yeah, he's got a man. Who's the man? Jesus is right in front of him. And he says, oh, no, God, man. Jesus has pointed him out, has picked him out, has taken time to minister to him, but he can't see it. Let me tell you what. Many times, you'll never get in the positive because you're too busy looking at the negative. You'll never see what is right there, a blessing in front of you, because you're too busy looking at what you don't have to notice what you do have. He's got Jesus in front of him, and he's saying, man, and what does he do? Here's what he does. You don't understand. And he repeats all this drama in his life. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. He repeats all this drama in his life. Does that remind you of anyone? I'm just asking. Does it run? And you're so quick to go, but Pastor, you don't have, and you're so quick to go, but here's a problem, here's a problem, here's a problem. And the whole time you're talking about the problem, you're not even recognizing the answer is right in front of you. Are you learning something? See, let me tell you what, you've got to recognize many times people will never see the good because they're too busy looking. They'll never see what they have because they're too busy looking at what they don't have. What happened in this story? I'll tell you what happened. Jesus says, hey, let me tell you what. I am going to take care of this right now. He says, let me tell you what. You don't have to go by that pool. I'm going to tell you what to do. You pick up that bed and walk. After 38 years, he picks up his bed and walks. Can I tell you what? God is no more in love with this man than he's in love with you or I. Amen. 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 But it's so important that we would look and see what we have and not take all this time looking at what we don't have. Because as we look at what we don't have, we never notice what we have. Am I the only one? Am I the only one who will say, hey, where's that book? I'm looking for the book. I'm looking for that Jonathan Cain book. Where did it go? Where is it? Where is it? Am I the only one who's looked for keys and said, where are my keys? Where are my keys? Where? Am I the only one who's looked for sunglasses? Am I the only one? And they are on my head. Am I the only one? Can I tell you what? I'm telling you what. There's all kinds of blessings. There's all kinds of opportunities. There's all kinds of blessings all around you. And you'll never see them if you keep on focusing on what you don't have. You'll never see what you do have. And it can be right in front of you. And you'll never see it. Why? Because you're focused on the wrong thing. Are you learning something? Is somebody glad they came today? Yes. Number one. Number two, you've got to understand this. Thinking on that which is good will take discipline. I gave you the example of a stream going downstream. If you just stop swimming, how many know you're going to go the direction of the stream? How many know our world is a negative world? I'm not saying they're not positive people in the world. I'm just saying, relatively, our life, our world is a negative world. And so you've got to be disciplined. Please understand this. Two things. Number one, because life is negative. Life is negative. Look at what Colossians says, chapter 3, verse 2 says this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Set your minds on the things above, not the things on this earth. How many know above? How many know in heaven there's nobody? How many know Jesus isn't going, ooh, I'm really concerned about this. I'm hoping. How many know the angels aren't worried about the light bill? Or, you know what I mean? How many know they're not ringing? Ooh. How many know nobody's ever? How many know everybody in heaven is chilled? Amen. Can I tell you what? Set your minds on the things above. Who's above? God's above. Set your minds on the things of God. You know, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. But can I tell you what you have to do? Have you ever done this with your kid? They're like, and you'll take their head and you'll go like this. Look, look. You ever done this? It's right. You ever done this? Moms, you ever done this? It's right there. You know what that is? You know what you're doing? You're setting, boom, their mind on that. That's what we have to do. Because naturally, you'll just and you'll never see it. You've got to set your mind on the things, watch this, the things above. Above. Look at Psalms 21, verse 1. We have it here on the screen. Psalm, lift up your eyes to the hills. From where? From hence? From how do you say that? Whence. Okay. How many know that's not a word you see very often, okay? Okay. It's like you gotta put out your pinky when you say that. Oh, you know, lift up your eyes from here. From whence? From whence comes my help? Can I tell you what? Your help comes from God. You have a loving God who has not, listen, he hasn't withheld anything from you, even his own son. Lift up your eyes. Focus on him. Recognize God is for you. He's not against you. Amen. But you have to be disciplined to do that. You have to get your eyes off the circumstances. For the just shall live by their faith, by their trust in God. Lift up your eyes. Folks, lift up your eyes. Get your eyes off the circumstances. Recognize God is for you. My third point. Recognize that there's part of us that likes to focus on that which is bad. Didn't get a big amen on that. But how many know? How many know that that's true? How many of you have ever gone by and you're like the freeway traffic is slow down, and you're complaining, and you know what? But when you get up to the front of the line, you go ahead and. Why? Why are you looking? Let me tell you why. Because there's a tendency that you have. Let me use another analogy that you could probably relate to. How many ever had a piece of pie?
Oh, there it is. In the fridge, right?
And the pie was so good that you had another piece of the pie. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. And I should have used the example of a cake. Amen. I'm telling you what, if you got $2 today, one of the smartest things you would do is go out and buy a piece of cake. Can I have a witness, please? Thank you. I'm just saying, it's the best cake you ever ate, but I'm just saying, you know what, here's what I'm saying, but maybe you have $6, and maybe you get a cake, and maybe you get another piece. Do you know, I'm just asking, do you know that there's something inside you that will even go and get a third piece of cake? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. I knew I could figure out something you could relate to, amen? But here's what I'm saying. Here's all I'm saying is to recognize that there's a tendency to go to the negative is to help to recognize or help to get you and me to not go to the negative. Do you understand? In other words, to recognize that tendency is then to defend against that tendency. You know, like in football, guys in football, what do? You focus on what the other side is going to do. Is that not right? And then what do? Then you defend to that. What I'm teaching you, I'm not trying to be negative saying, hey, you have a tendency to be negative. I'm trying to say, recognize we all have a tendency to be negative. We all have a tendency to eat too much cake. Amen?
Oh, no.
I don't even like cake. All right, whatever. Whatever your deal is. You know what I mean? It don't make any difference. You know, it's important in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were set free from bondage. They were enslaved. They were slaves for years. And yet, it's so interesting. When they get delivered, when they get set free, as soon as things don't start going the way they want, you know what they did? They started, 10 spies started to cry and complain and say, we can't do this. Well, it's interesting because that night, those 10 spies infected all of Israel. And they all started crying and complaining. And believe it or not, here's what they said. We should go back and become slaves again. Can you imagine? I'm just saying, there's a tendency that we have to gravitate towards the negative. And we have to recognize that. We have to defend against that. We have to recognize how harmful that would be. I'm just asking, have you ever been in a car with someone who's complaining? Have you ever gone to eat and you can't even enjoy your meal Because the person that you're with is too busy complaining about, you know what, it's, you know what, it's cold, it's too hot, it's too, you know what, I don't like too much spices, you know what I mean? I got a dirty silverware, you know what I mean? I want some water, you know what I mean? It's like, oh my goodness, I can't even, you know what I mean? I mean, you want to just run out, just go to McDonald's and I'll be in peace. No, think about it. You'd enjoy a better meal at McDonald's than you would, you know what, Chili's, depending on whether you have somebody who's always focused on the negative. And can I tell you what? Even though we can see it in others, how many know that applies to all of us? We can all get in that kind of mentality. Are you learning something? And then number four, we've got to focus. When you focus on that which is good, you begin to think and act like God. You begin to think and act like God. Because let me tell you what God is. God is always thinking in positive terms. Did you hear what he said? Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is honorable, if there's anything, watch the Spirit of God. If there is anything praiseworthy, think on these things. See, that's how he thinks. You know, you know the scripture, Jeremiah. Jeremiah, what's Jeremiah say? 29:11. What's he say? For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Here's God speaking through the prophet, and he's saying, let me tell you what. Don't tell me what I think, because I know what I think. And here's what he says. Don't tell me what I think. I know the thoughts that I have towards men. And let me tell you what it is. My thought, I don't care what people say about me. I know what I think. I know what I'm thinking towards you. And here are my thoughts towards you. They're thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Can I tell you what? God is the most optimistic person in the universe. And his optimism is focused towards you. Amen. Look at this passage of scripture. This is in Romans. Romans chapter 8, and let me just read this. This is so good. Romans chapter 8, no, starting with verse 5. Guys in the back, starting with verse 5. Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 5. Look what it says. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds. Remember, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Next verse. To be carnally minded. When you get in that negativity, let me tell you what, it will cause corruption, death, negativity. You know what? You reap whatever you sow. You know, here's the reality. Listen, the way you think is the way you speak. The way you speak is the way you act. And the way you act is the way you reap. Do I need to wrap that to you? Because I will. Watch, let me try it again. This is so good. The way you think, I'll have the rap next week, okay? The way you think is the way you speak. The way you speak is the way you act. And the way you act is how what you're going to sow. Here, let me prove it to you. Some of you are thinking right now. Some of you are thinking, what do we have? Pozole or? What, you think I don't know how to say it? You think this white boy don't know how to say it? No, I know how to say it. I'm just checking, man. I'm just trying to be funny. That's all. That was on purpose. Help me out, baby. Okay. Well, let me just say, okay, yeah, thank you. We got some soup. It's really good. And we got and we got menudo, okay? That's what we got going on. Okay? So some of you are thinking, oh my, see, some of you walked in and you didn't have breakfast and you're thinking, man, that menudo, man, that's going on, man. I'm going to grab me a bowl when I get, watch this. You think that, and what do you say? You know what? The person who brought you, oh, let's go. And you're like, no. We ain't going nothing. We ain't going nowhere till I pick up some menudo.
Oh, there it is.
Right? You think it, you say it, and then what do you do? Then you act on it. Amen? Then you do it. Amen? See, you think it, you say it, you act on it, and then what do? You reap it. Don't shut me down when I'm preaching good. See, and that's all of life. You think it, you speak it, you do it, and you reap it. That's how it works. So what's the character of God? Let me tell you about the character of God. Watch this. To be carnally minded is death. Listen, you know what? Listen, find out what most people do and don't do it. Here, I need to tweet that. Write that down. Find out what most people do and don't do it. Why? Because the Bible says the road to destruction is wide and many are though. You know, there's not a lot of people who in the midst of a bad circumstances is going to see the good thing. You know, I don't know. Was there a team recently who a local team who was in the playoffs? What? They were up 2-1. Can somebody help me out here? Oh, yeah. The Dodgers. That's right. Right. And I'm just asking. So here's what happened. They're up 2-1. The Dodgers are my son's favorite team, okay? And so I really like the Dodgers, especially if they make the playoffs, okay? But I'm just saying. I said in the first service, my veins, I have blue blood in my veins. I grew up with Tommy Lasorda, you know what, Davey Lopes, Bill Russell. I can tell you all the infield of the Dodgers. But here's what I'm saying. When they lost, I was bummed out for about 30 seconds. Say, Pastor, why? Here's why. This is, actually, I'm kind of being funny, but you know what the truth is? I'm being serious. Here's why. Because I've developed a mindset of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. I've learned that in all of life, I need to focus on that which is good. And it was a bummer. Because how many know the Dodgers? I mean, it's hard to get in the playoffs. Then they won the first round. It's hard. Their teams are great. It's just hard. And they finally got there, and they were up 2-1. I could have been bummed. So, Pastor, what did you do? I thought of what was good. Yeah, Pastor, how did you think? Here's what I thought. I thought the Cubs hadn't been in the World Series or hadn't, you know, won the World Series for, what, or 100 years? 108 years? Oh, my goodness. Is it? And I thought, hey, that's cool that the Cubs are going to the World Series. And then here's what I thought. I thought, hey, do you think there's, with all the players of the Cubs, do you think somebody on the Cubs are Christians? Do you think there's some born again, love Jesus with all our believers on the Cubs? Yeah, somebody told me in the first service, yeah. And I thought, praise God. You know what? The Cubs won. Amen. You say, well, what about the Dodgers who love Jesus? Okay, praise God, they get to play golf. Hallelujah. Amen? But you see what I'm saying? See, I'm telling you, in every situation, there's blessings in your life, but you've got to do what the Bible says. And here's the thing, your life will get better.
That's right.
Because here's the problem. If you're waiting for all your circumstances to change for your life to get better, how many know there's never, I'm just asking, have you ever had a perfect, everything in the whole week, not a month, just a week, have you had everything perfect in the week? Have you ever had a week like that?
No.
Yeah, that's what I thought. See, can I tell you what? It's a trick. It's a trick of the enemy. He's trying to get you to focus on every situation. What's the negative? What's the negative? What's the negative? How many know if you're in Los Angeles and you break your leg and you get on a plane and you go to Chicago, how many know when you get off the plane, you still have a broken leg?
That's right.
Come on. You said, what's your point? My point is your misery is going to follow you everywhere you go. And what I'm saying is in every situation, you can look. There's some goodness to happen in it if you look at it hard enough. And what's the character of God? Let me tell you the character of God. What's what God says about you? To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Next verse. No, guys. Oh, is that it? No. I'm in Romans, guys. Romans, starting with... Yeah, go back to 7. Okay. Because to be carnally minded is an enmity against God. Carnally minded, negative. I'm telling you what, God's not negative. You're coming against God himself. Watch this. No. Back. Because to be carnally minded against God is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. Now, what's the next verse? So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But watch this next verse. Watch what God does. Watch this next verse. But you're not in the flesh. Hallelujah. Do you see how God acts? God's like, yeah, yada, 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 yada. But let me tell you about you. You're not like that. See, God is for you. He doesn't see you in negative terms. He sees you in positive terms. Amen? He says, let me tell you what. You ain't like that. Yeah, yada, 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 yada. That's all. But let me tell you, you are. But you're like this. Let me tell you, you are. You're a prince. Let me tell you, you are. You're a king. Let me tell you, you are. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you what you are. You're above. You're not beneath. Let me tell you, you are. You're the lender, not the borrower. Amen? That's who you are. That's how God sees you. See, here's what you need to know. When you start getting in those terms, you start thinking the way God thinks. And that's a good thing. Amen. All right. Are you learning some stuff? All right, let me tell you a couple of stories and I'll end with this. This verse, you've really got to think about this verse and make a decision. Everybody say make a decision. Because when you start thinking in the positive, when you start only thinking on that which is good, let me tell you what, people are going to look at you like you're nuts. Let them think of you like you're nuts. That kind of thinking will cause blessings to come in your life. You will start to attract the blessings of God in your life. So let me tell you a story. So I'm a young man. I moved to Newport Beach. But here's where I got to live. I got to live on a balcony. I answered an ad in the paper, and it said room for rent. And I liked it because it said, you know what, Christian men. And I thought, that's cool. So I went down there, and by the time I was able to get down there and meet with these guys, they had already rented the room. But they liked me and said, well, you know what, though? If you want, you could sleep on the balcony. I thought, okay, all right, that's good. I'll sleep on the balcony. Now, let me tell you just about my character. If I have an opportunity to sleep inside, nice and cozy, or to sleep outside, I'm sleeping outside. Amen. I like, you know what? Somebody says, oh, it's cold out now. No, it's not cold out there. It's fresh. Somebody said, no, it's cold. No, it's not. It's brisk. Amen. That's just how I think. Okay, but I true story. But you know, somebody said, you live out in the No, listen. I live, and here's where I lived. I live in Newport Beach. Right across the street was Lido Island. You know Lido Island, there's no more expensive real estate to buy in the whole world than Lido Island. And I lived right across the street. Yeah, but you lived on a balcony. So what? Yeah. I lived in Newport Beach. Amen. Amen. And that was my mentality. See, I understand this, that God is not against me. God is for me. And so I'm always looking, I'm always thinking of life. That's how I look at things. Let me tell you what, and that is the truth too. And so, you know what, in a course of time, somebody came in the grocery store and they said, hey, they knew me and they said, hey, I rented this place and it's right across the street and you know what, I got a great deal. I said, really? I said, is there another place with the deal? And they said, actually, there might be right behind. I think there might be a studio place that has opened up. I went across the street, and I talked to the owner. And I said, hey, listen, I'm going to Life Bible College. I'm a Bible student. I work across the street. I'll be the best tenant you ever had. You know what? He gave me that place for $200 a month. Now you're looking at that place, and man, you know what, that's a little Cracker Jack, you know what I mean? No, let me tell you what, it was a nice place. It was small, but it was nice. Amen? So, Pastor, so what did you do? So when I felt the Holy Spirit said to move out and to move back in with my parents in that fancy, dancy city called La Puente. See, watch this. I went from living in Newport Beach to living in La Puente, you know what, in the room with my, I mean, you know what, in the house with my parents. I went from working from in Newport Beach to working in that high echelon place called Baldwin Park. But here's the funny thing. I saw it as a blessing. I didn't see it as a curse. I saw it for what it was. It was a blessing. So how did you figure that out? Here's what I figured out. That I was able to see my parents every single day. Man, that was cool. Let me tell you, my parents are some of the coolest people you'll ever meet. And I got to be with them and hang out with them. And I saw that as a blessing. Now see, most people will never see it as a blessing because they're too busy crying and they're too busy on the negative to not see the positive. So here's what I did. When I moved out from Newport Beach, I gave the apartment to my girlfriend, okay, at the time. Now she's my wife.
Yeah.
Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
And I said, here, you know what? And I talked to the owner. Owner said, that's fine. So she moved in my place. Then later on, we got married. Well, when we got married, so Tim was like, okay, now we'll get an apartment. I'm like, get an apartment? We ain't getting no apartment.
Come on, there it is.
Well, where are we going to live? I said, where are we going to live? We got a place in Newport Beach.
Yeah.
She said, what are you talking about? We got a place in Newport Beach. You work in El Monte, and we can't do this. I said, no, you don't understand. We got two places.
Yeah, come on.
We got a place at the beach, and we got a room in my parents' house, man. What are you talking about? I got it going on, man. This is awesome. Now, see, you're... Pastor, are you crazy? How could you think that way? That's just how I'm always looking for the blessing, and it's always there. It was a blessing. Amen? Amen. And in the course of time, maybe it took about 2 or 3 months, somebody came to the church. They were looking for a young Christian couple to manage apartments. Now watch this. And we interviewed. The interview was awesome. Because you know what I found out? You know how much I had to pay rent for a 2-bedroom, 1-bath apartment in San Gabriel? Nice neighborhood in San Gabriel, by the way. Guess how much I had to pay rent? Nothing. Can I tell you what's better than paying $200 a month rent? Paying nothing, dude. Word up, man. See, what I'm telling you, if you get in this kind of, you're just focused on the good. Yeah! And here's what the Bible says, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, you start sowing in those terms. You'll start reaping it. And so, boom. So we're in there the first week. You know what? Lady comes to the door, knocks on the door, says, you know what, managers, my wall's messed up. It's all wet. I go over there, the whole wall is all wet. I'm like, what am I doing? I don't know how to do none of this stuff. I know how to screw in a light bulb. I don't know how to do none of this stuff. You know what I mean? So what I'm like, what, you know what? Oh, what? And so I tell my wife that, and I'll never forget that night. You know what I mean? One of the worst days of my life. And Tamara is crying in the bed. We've made a mistake. What are we doing? We don't know what we're doing. And I'm thinking, she's right. I don't know what I'm doing. She was totally right. But here's what she said. Here's what let's do. Let's go back to the owner. Tell him we're sorry. We don't know what we're thinking. You know what? We'll move back in with your parents. You know what I mean? But we got to get out of here. We don't know what we're doing. You know what? But you know what? But watch this. But see, I'm always looking for the good. Because let me tell you what. It's always there. Most people just can't see it. So they have opportunities they never even see. Can I tell you what? The fact that we were at the apartment, I don't have time to go over it. The fact that we were at the apartments, we went from those apartments to a better apartment. I mean, God blessed us so much. Here's what I said. I said, honey, and listen, if you're in the negative, you'd never see it. I worked with a guy, his name was Pat Swanson. And he used to tell me he had this part-time job. He worked in the grocery store, but he had this part-time job. Guess what it was? He was a fix-it man at an apartment. I called Pat Swanson on him. I said, hey, Pat, can you show up every Monday and just work for like 4 hours? And here was my plan. I told Tamara, I said, I'll just follow Pat all around. I said, well, pay him 10 bucks an hour. You know what I mean? That back in that day, it was good money. I said, I'll pay him 10 bucks an hour. But so what? It's going to be better because I'm not paying any money rent.
Come on, amen. That's right.
So Pat comes over. You know what? I'm not like, Pat, I was so totally messed up. Her whole wall's all wet. Pat says this, what's on the other side of her that wall? I said, well, it's just the lawn, just the grass. He says, can we go out there? I said, sure. So we went out there, and he says, can you turn the sprinklers on? I didn't even know where the sprinklers were. I had to find the sprinklers, you know, figure it out. Boom, I turned the sprinklers on. True story, I turned the sprinklers on. Here's what Pat does. He sees, because what's happening, the sprinklers are watering the outside of that wall every morning and every night. Pat goes over to that corner, takes the sprinkler, turns it a half a turn, and goes, it's fixed. I'm like, God is good, amen? You know what? Went back to the apartment, honey, fixed it, man. Me and Pat fixed it. Here's all I'm saying, guys. Here's all I'm saying. See, we need to recognize, yeah, but Pastor, you and I could go on, I could really go on to talk about all the blessings. You know, one time I asked Tamara, I said, hey Tamara, I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying we need to buy some tapes. I heard this guy and he was selling these tapes on investing in stocks. I said, I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying that. See, God will speak to you, but you got to get out of the negative. And she said, I think that's right, Drew. I ordered the tapes. I listened to the tapes over and over and over again. You know what I mean? Didn't know nothing about buying stock. I listened to them over and over and over again. And then I felt like the Holy Spirit said, don't buy anything. Don't buy anything. Don't buy anything. And I kept on waiting. Don't buy anything. Don't buy anything. And then finally, you know what? We had a person, didn't even know this guy, comes over to our house, starts talking to us, and I asked him this question. I feel like the Holy Spirit said, ask him about stock. He said, yeah, buy this stock. Buy as much of this as you can. So what do? I felt like the Holy Spirit said, absolutely, that's what I've been waiting for.
Amen.
We bought as much of that. We didn't have a lot of money. We bought as much of that stock as we could. Pastor, that's not smart. Don't you know? You need to diversify. You don't need to, don't put all your eggs in one basket. You didn't do it right. Well, okay, but whatever it was, 2 years later, you know what? I sold that stock, you know what, for whatever it was. I mean, crazy, because it doubled, then it doubled, then it doubled, then it doubled, then it doubled. It doubled about 8 times. Listen, you want to testify of the goodness of God? Come on over to my house. Amen.
Pastor, how do you afford a house like that? I don't.
Amen. You know what? God can afford a house like that. Can you say amen to that? But listen, it's watch this, and it's about. But you know what? But I was walking. I saw when I lived in a balcony. I saw that as a blessing. When I lived with my parents, I didn't see it. I saw it. Thank you, Jesus, for what I have. Are you understanding? I'm not trying to, listen, and even in that period of time, you know what I did? I just saw things. You know, I bought Apple stock. No, not Apple. I bought Disney. Why'd you buy Disney? I don't know. I'm looking like, you know, okay, well, I like Mickey Mouse. Let me see what Disney stock's selling for. And I started following Disney, and I started to recognize Disney was selling in a range from about $20 to about $25. And I didn't know any of this stuff, but I just found out I could go down in the morning, punch in my computer. As soon as that stock goes below 20, buy 100 shares or 50 or whatever I could afford, 20 or whatever. And so, boom, I'd buy 50 shares. When would you buy it? I don't know. As soon as it hit, I didn't have to be there. I just put in the order for that to happen. And then what would you do? Then after I bought those shares right away, you know what? I'd put in a sell order for 25, and that stock would go up to 25, and what would you do? I'd sell it, man.
Amen.
And then it would go back down to 20, and what would I do? I'd buy it, and then it would go back up to 25, and what would I do? I was doing that. You know what? Tamron, I made a lot of money.
Amen.
and just buying and selling Disney. I bought a computer. I bought an Apple computer. You know what? I was at Life Bible College. I wanted a nice computer. I bought a styling. I mean, it was state-of-the-art Apple computer. State-of-the-art. This thing was the bomb. Amen? But I got it for like a phenomenal deal. It cost me like $2,400. This computer was worth like $5,000. How'd you get it? The blessings of God. Amen? See, God is for me. He's not against me. So, Pastor, I think you're smart, like I'm not. Trust me. Hey, she knows, amen. See, listen, and the reason I say that, I want you to understand this testimony is not about my intelligence. This testimony is about getting off the negative. Can I tell you what? I always expected God to bless me. I was always looking for the blessing. I bought that computer. You know what? And what did you do when you bought it? I thought, man, I don't need this big old fancy computer. I didn't even recognize I got it at the deal I got it for. I mean, I knew I got a deal. I didn't know how much. I put it on a recycler. Back then, there was this thing called recycler. I put it in a recycler. Didn't even cost anything put the ad in. Recycler, guess what? I sold it like 2 weeks later for almost $5,000. So, Pastor, what's your point? Are you trying to teach? No, listen, I'm not trying to teach you anything except this, that if you will do what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, that God is not a respecter of persons, here's what you got to do. You got to get out of looking at everything in a negative term. Because just like I've been talking about all the blessings of God, the same thing, the curse, not God's curse, but the curse of just negativity. That negativity is against God. And you position yourself for that. And you become an Eeyore. And God hasn't called you to be an Eeyore. God has called you to walk in His blessings. He loves you. He's not against you. He's for you. But you've got to make up your mind that you're just not going to do that anymore. Did somebody learn something today? Is somebody glad they came today? Is somebody glad they came today? I'm glad you came today. Tamara and I, can I tell you what? Tamara and I love you. We're here for you. If you're looking for a good church, you know what? Plug in. Because let me tell you what, you can ask Richard. You know what? You can ask Richard, you can ask Carol. And I'm not trying to put you on the spot, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but can you tell these people that every single week they're going to get something that just will lift them up and cause them, their life to get better, and it's not me, it's the power of the Word of God. Could you testify that that's true? Thank you. Every week. So I encourage you, if you're looking for a good church, if you're looking for a Bible-believing church, because let me tell you what, Every week I get so encouraged. You know what I mean? Here's the truth. I'm going to listen to this week. This sermon is going to be sent to my email. I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. Tamara and I love you. Tamara, come in. Talk to us.
The Lord asked us to not forsake the gathering of the brethren. Why is that? Because in being together, we lift Him up. We talk about who He is, His ways, how we walk that out in our lives, how we become more like Him. This is what He wants. This is important to Him. Let me give you a quick example how it's important to Him. So we're talking about today that we, as a people, we have a tendency to slip into the negative, right? That we can have a tendency to look at things not the way God looks at them. You know what? That we can become these Eeyores. I want to just share with you a little testimony of why it's so important. This coming together, that we are a community of people who love Jesus Christ, who are determined that we are going to be like Him. Because every one of us can go there, you know what, as far as being an Eeyore. But that's not what God has called us to. Open up the Bible. Check it out. That is not God. So I just recently went to Chicago to visit my family. And we have some family members there who are very much Eeyore-ish. And I know this. And so I took the girls with me. So I'm like, hey, you know what? You know, if they, you know, start, you know, talking about what, don't go there. That's not who we are. We don't go there. Don't get caught up in that. And I am determined I will not talk about someone negatively unless I'm going to talk to them. If I got something negative to say to you, I will come to you. I will talk to you. I will not tell Ernie about you. Do you understand that? It's ungodly behavior. It's part of who he's asked us not to be. And so we're sitting, and a whole hubbub came up from that very non-disciplined mouth, right? And it was going on, and so I had left from one of my siblings' house to the other sibling's house. And I'm sitting there with my girls around the dinner table. And my brother said to me, they're talking about this situation, and we're sitting there eating our meal, and he said, so, you know what, Tammy, they call me Tammy. So, Tammy, what do you think, Tammy? And I looked at him and I said, you know, I don't talk about anybody in the negative unless they're right with me. I don't do that. I don't think it's a good practice. And he kind of giggled a little bit and he said, amen. See, he's mocking me a little bit, you know, amen. And I said, okay. So now, just 2 days ago, my brother called me and we were talking. And he said, listen to what he said to me. He said, you know what? I think you've got it right. I'm not doing that anymore. Amen. See, that will always end up in trouble. Do you understand that? It will never be a blessing to anyone to behave outside of the way that God asks us to behave. And so he says to me, you know what? We were talking about visiting each other again. He said, you know what? And he said, have you, you know, whatever, said anything? I said, you know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to, you know what, see if maybe you guys can come on here and visit us. And we were talking about some airfares and things. And he said, yeah, you know what? I think you got it right. I'm not doing that anymore. Now, how can I affect his life in a positive way? Wow, do you know how that can change my family? Just one person picking up that Christly behavior? But would it have ever been picked up if I would have, as soon as I got in that atmosphere, forgot about who Jesus asked me to be? Do you see that? And that's every one of us, that we just know who Jesus Christ is. We determine that we're going to live our life glorifying him, that we act like him, because it matters to God that we love him. And watch this. God said, if you love me, I'm going to make it all real personal. Tamara, if you love me, then you will obey me. So then I fly thousands of miles away, and I'm back in my family where I grew up. And we did not grow up with God. And they act a certain way back there. Now, if I love him, I'm going to obey him. That was some pressure there that day. Do you understand that? To just say, and I didn't mean it disrespectfully, and I wasn't trying to be holier than thou, but it is just a point. You know what? I don't do that. That's what I learned. I don't do that. And it matters. So if I love God and obey him, see, the more we love God, the more we're going to obey him. And when we obey him, you know what's going to happen? People's lives are going to be affected for him. That's why God cares about the fact that we obey him. Because when we obey him, he's all about people. I wrote down on my phone, as the Spirit of God was just giving this to me, it matters to God that we love him. We had a moment with God in the beginning of the service with that. Totally matters to him that I love him. But as the service played out now, and as you know why it matters so much to God that we love him? Because when we love him, we obey him. And when we obey him, we affect people's lives around us. And God is into people. That's what he's into. He is just into people. He loves people. And as we love him, we end up being, look at what he calls us, ambassadors. You know what? Christians. So we're Christ followers. And so how does he reach people? Through people who will be like him. That's how he reaches them. Because his ways are awesome. And when we behave like him, it is incredibly attractive. Incredibly attractive. And people were drawn. You see it in the Word of God. People were just drawn to Jesus, were they not? That same draw happens in your life if you will determine that you're going to be like him. And God will draw them to you so that you can be an example of him, live and in person right before them. That's this whole Christianity thing, amen? Amen. That's what it's about. That's why we gather together at church, that we are put in a local body by God so that we can all become more like God, so that we can go out and affect others with God. Amen? Amen. It's a good plan. Amen?